Lyd? Lyd? Är det bra lyd?
Now you don't got video turned on.
Okej.
Fuck, and I can't hear anything. I'm at a loss, man. Now I hear
Something.
you. Last time you were the king of like raspy kind of right into the microphone because you were using your Yeti. And like it was so strange because I just sounded like normal me and you were like, "Hi, I'm Knut."
I can't remember recording this episode.
At home?
I never recorded an episode at home.
Your evil twin brother was, well, he did a bang up job, I gotta say. Let's have him back on the show sometime. He was cool. Is this the podcast?
This is the podcast.
You got a matching cup. Actually, you got a better cup. You got a Christmas cup or a Christmas holder.
Of course, you want the Christmas cup.
Obviously.
The Christmas cup. Who won the Christmas cup?
Is this the Christmas episode? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, or a happy year, as I used to say it.
In English or in Norwegian?
In Norwegian, I guess.
I like it. Yeah, it's good. It's, I mean, it's like a completely arbitrary point in time, right? So, like, just happy year. I had the realization that even though we only just went over the 1 year mark of podcasting, we've now recorded in 3 separate calendar years. So we've gone from being 1 year old to being 3 years old. I think we need to start having tantrums.
There should be some kind of twist, I guess.
Franz nougat is all that remains. That's a candy joke. Yeah, I'm just gonna let that one sit. Okay. What kind of twist?
Someone who we all thought was the hero turns out to be the bad guy, or something you never believed would happen w will happen.
In season three. I guess the cool thing to do is to take a character you're absolutely sure you dislike and make you like them. That's like a great writerly move. If anyone's still listening to this and they dislike both of us, why are you still listening? I guess they're going to have to hate us. We're going to have to go from likable, bumbling podcasters to, well, on my part, you're like a professional podcaster, but yeah, we're going to have to become unlikable. More unlikable.
It's tempting to have a sort of a look back,
Okay. Do it.
but I haven't prepared.
That's all right.
You
Do
have
it on
to
the
listen through
hoof.
all the episodes.
I listened to the last year's Christmas episode,
You did.
mostly in the spirit of not wanting to repeat everything that we said last year. So I took one for the team. I just got done listening to it this morning. It's pretty long. It's like 2 hours.
And this, I guess, solidifies you as the hegemony of this podcast yet again.
Bite me.
Doing the homework.
Yeah, it was, well, I wanted to not repeat us. And we talked a lot about Pinochet. Actually, from memory, we talked about Pinochet in like 3 or 4 different episodes last year. So we don't have to redo that. But we should talk about Christmas a little bit, because it was Christmas. What did you do?
Same procedure as last year.
Ding! Very good.
Well, yeah, it was quite a low key Christmas party, I guess. Not a party, celebration.
Okay. In a
Occasion. I don't know.
nice way?
Yeah. We ate some pinchot, of course. Open presents.
Cool. You seem to travel around a lot.
I had to go home to my parents in the days between. Did we ever choose Romjul as a word of the week?
I think we talked about it last episode, the last Christmas episode, so yeah. We didn't like burrow into it a lot, but we talked about it.
So I went to Karmøy, or the home of the Viking kings,
Yeah.
as
You
it
went to a
tries
museum?
to. No, it didn't. It just was a random sign on the bus stop.
I'm gutted. I wanted you to turn up and talk about how you'd like been to some museum or whatever. I'm sure you've been there a million times, but
yeah, there is a museum, a Viking village actually.
You're doing this on purpose.
And they have a Viking sort of this Viking week where people from the UK come over and pretend they are Vikings in a weird, I don't know, but
as you do.
As you do. Remembering the past. So
how old are these people? Are they like live-action role-playing, like reenactment types, or
yeah? Mm-hmm. And they, I guess they are families, so they take the kids
on their way to inverse rape and pillage or whatever.
Yeah.
Hmm. So, okay, then. Spooling back, like, what's it like to grow up on what is just casually, oh, by the way, the home of the Viking kings? As you do.
I guess there are a bit more Viking going on. Well, because you take these class trips and so on, and you learn that this is the cradle of Norway. The birthplace of the huge nation. Yeah.
Do you know why it was there?
I think the sort of it is a safe passage for boats, so, sort of inside the island, and there's a quite narrow. What's the English term for sund?
Channel, maybe sound. We say sound.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah, it's a narrow channel or sound. I guess where a king could. Make some tull. Take a cut of the goods.
Okay, yeah. So you got to like stop and pay like 20% or whatever.
Yeah.
Fun fact, I suspect I have this in common with most people growing up in the UK of my generation. Like, you got to the age of 7 or 8 and you basically had to do a project about the Vikings.
And how was the narrative? How the Vikings came and pillaged and raped our country?
I don't think there was too much rape talk. We were like 7. I think it was genuinely, like, the spin was genuinely these people were really cool, interesting seafarers who travelled widely and had cool stuff. And I'm sure we drew a lot of historically very inaccurate pictures of people with horns on their helmets or whatever, but... I don't remember very much about it, but I do remember that it was a thing. I think it was like maybe like the year after dinosaurs or something, you did Vikings.
And in danger of enraging some of our... I don't think so, really, but how about those seafarers of your own? Were they cool?
Well, I don't know, because we never really learned about them. I guess what Vikings have going for them, if you grow up in the UK, is that they're exotic and therefore more interesting. Anything I know about British nautical history, I've done on my own time by reading fiction books.
Because English nautical history is a pretty significant part of your, I guess, history.
Yeah. Something conquered the world, I don't know. Yeah, kind of, I guess. Yeah, but that's not the focus when you're learning history. Like, I dropped history, like, as soon as humanly possible because it was not taught to us in an interesting way and it wasn't really what I wanted to do. So, like, we did kind of history-based projects in primary school and then probably I got to the age of 13 or 14 and just went, right, done with that. So I don't know what they learned about. But we learned about, in high school, hey, guess what? World War II. And a lot of Scottish history also. Like kings and queens type stuff and like the incessant battle with England that sort of went on for hundreds of years. Yeah. I wish it had been taught more interestingly. It is fascinating. The older you get, the more you appreciate that, I think. What was history teaching about? Have we talked about this before? What was it about in your school?
Good question. because I had history all through Videregående, that is, to I was like 18 or something.
Hmm.
And then, of course, I studied, you can say, the history of religions after that.
Yeah.
But I don't consider myself very much of an historian. But
The fuck were you doing that whole time?
Well, I read postmodernist theory.
Hmm.
Where you are allowed to theorize the history away or something.
Okay.
That's not entirely true, but yeah. But I think it was very influenced by economic history.
Of Norway or broader?
Of the Western world. God,
that would be so useful to know. Like, how would you frame economic history? I have an idea in my head of what
it's like. How people sort of earned their living throughout the ages, and
trade.
Voila, agriculture. Voila, the age of industrialization and so on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it, we did a tiny little bit about the Industrial Revolution when I was maybe like 8, 9. Like mostly things like invention of the steam engine and stuff like that.
And of course, a bit on the world wars.
Yeah.
As you do. So, yeah.
So when you said you wanted to turn this into an episode about that was kind of a bit of a retrospective, did you think we'd be like going like literally hundreds of years back or thousands?
Yeah, because when I came to university, it was literally thousands of years back. We learned about Mesopotamian religion, so, and Egyptian and Greek and Roman and Hellenistic and so on.
I can't follow that up. I have like a million questions, but I should probably just read a book.
Books.
What have they ever done for us?
There are a popular book these days. I haven't read it yet, but I plan to.
And what is
it? It's of course Sapiens.
Mm.
And I haven't looked into it, but it seems to me as this big history thing. Do you know the genre of big history, by the way?
I guess that's different from, like, big pharma and
Historians tend to frown when author endeavors to sort of comprise everything of history into one book. So I guess Jared Diamond is the popularizer of this thing with Guns, Germs, and Steel.
Okay, which I know of but have not read. I should read Sapiens as well.
I guess Sapiens are on the same lines.
Hmm. There's a Wikipedia page about big history. I'm just looking at it now.
And some of them even starts with sort of Big Bang and so on.
That's what it says here, yeah.
Yeah.
That seems... is it like the pop science of history?
Or yeah, kind of.
More comprehensive? Is it more kind of broad in its scope?
That is a false dichotomy, because pop history doesn't need to be so shallow or.
Okay, badly phrased on my part. When people publish pop science books, they're still usually fairly niche, like they're accessible, but they usually delve into one very specific topic. But if you're talking about history in the broadest time frame, you have to go broad.
I don't agree with that, but okay.
Well, I'm not saying yes, they don't generalize it out, but like a lot of pop science kind of takes a fairly narrow focus and unpacks that in a publicly accessible way. But like, how can you possibly go deep and broad at the same time in one popularly accessible book? about history.
Because big history books tend to have, I guess, a thesis or something. So I guess Guns, Germs, and Steel, it's on the tin.
Yep.
It's about how topography and... yeah, it's about how geographical and topographical constraints have formed the history and the possibilities for the different civilizations to arise and do stuff and so on.
Yeah. So you have this big thesis and you're trying to, like, that's your framework for the whole of history. Okay, and that's your big history frame, right? Gotcha. Cute.
I guess it's stories of entropy or something. They try to find the sort of the commonalities or the strain in history or something.
Okay. And is this regarded with kind of eye-rolling frustration by, I don't know, people who are writing the academic literature rather than the pop literature, or is it written by the same people?
I don't think it's written by the same people, because it depends on your history department, I guess, but some history departments are quite close to sources, the primary sources. So there you have the niche thing. The almost said nearsighted thing, but so they are very
short-term?
Yeah, but they hone in, they close in on a particular happening or something, and try to map all the sources about it and account for the context of those sources and so on. And when you write a big history thing, you necessarily can't go into the context of all your sources, and you also are hugely dependent on the secondary and, I guess, tertiary sources. So, yeah. So, a historian could say, he completely misinterpreted that source, and this is not how it happened, and so on. So they can have a lot of gripes with how the underlying material is handled and so on. So, yeah.
Academics in rolling their eyes at the popular literature, shocker.
Well, rolling eyes is sort of in the job description of an academic.
Yeah, I guess.
You have to roll your eyes while standing on the shoulder of giants.
Nice. Yeah, actually, that's a pretty comprehensive job description. Yeah, I like that. So this retrospective, if we take the big kind of retrospective approach, like what is your thesis about, like, the year that was, or I don't know, pick an epoch of time that you want to discuss.
in terms of small differences, history, the big history of small differences.
Oh, nice, good title. Yeah, shoot.
I guess the genesis of this podcast. Was when I think I walked my dog.
Yeah. This is how the myth is relayed. Yeah. Go on.
Yeah. And the podcast muse descended up on me from the heavens.
Like the kind of the Christmas story, right?
Yeah.
Mm.
And showed me a world without small differences. A sad and grey world.
And you thought, it must not be like this. I must do something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and see what happened. See what you did.
Yeah. Well, but yeah. So my thesis was, if you just stick with it, it might become good sometime.
Is that going to happen anytime soon? I'm sure our listeners want to know.
So, in the role of the prophet, I would say, perhaps next year.
So what you're saying is, don't listen to this year's episodes, but maybe come back a year from now.
No, you have to stick with it to show your dedication.
If you want to
understand why it is good.
I think people just listen to this while they do the vacuuming and they just turn the volume all the way down, so they can't actually...
But yeah, are we less self-deprecating now than before?
I doubt that greatly. She says being self-deprecating. I don't know. How's the podcast, like, how's doing this changed how you think about being a Norwegian in Norway?
It has made me more aware of it, perhaps.
Okay.
But has it changed? I guess it must have in some way. Perhaps not me as a Norwegian, because as we have covered, I don't feel so much... I don't find myself so much in sort of that way, I guess. I don't know.
I'm just remembering the video you just sent me the other day. The Norwegian guys... Norwegian guys, Big Brother, we have to post a link to this. It's genius. Yeah. What was it about that that called to you?
I just find it funny.
It is amazing.
And that has become a tradition, somewhat of a tradition. He has done this before.
Okay. Who is this guy? Some context.
I don't know. He's just this Norwegian on YouTube.
Okay.
Who posts videos with himself in almost in a nude, I guess. There's a way to sell this in. On ice skates, drinking vodka.
Not aquavit.
Oh, it's Norwegian vodka.
Okay.
So, and he skates into sort of the ice puddle.
Right, an ice fishing hole, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And last year, I think he had a motor sore or something.
We'll put a link in the show notes. You must see this. If there's one insane Norwegian on YouTube that you watched this year in 2018, make it this one. Are there other insane Norwegians? I guess like the whole dudsing, right? Like that never gets old. Maybe we should just...
Yeah,
like...
but dudsing is like the jock version of this.
That's true.
This is the Lacoste version.
This is like the gonzo, like, this guy is just going for it, doing his own thing.
And it goes well with the dinner for one. It's sort of the Norwegian and the British take.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know what to do with that.
Yeah.
Christmas?
Christmas. I went to concert.
Yeah. Go on.
Because we have this, I guess, music high school.
Okay. Where people specialize?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I made a high school musical sort of pun there, but you didn't take it.
It sounded like a legit construction to me. Yeah.
They specialize, but what's special with this music high school is... that it is also Christian.
Is that unusual?
Yeah. Well, to have... wait a minute. Am I translating high school correctly now?
How old are the people who go?
It's videregående, 16 to 18.
Okay. Yeah, we were up in this before, actually, that, like... That would be maybe a further education college in the UK, but it's complicated because people are also still in school at that age. Most people in high school in the UK go to high school at around age 12 and they stay in that high school through 18.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So anywho, I guess you just have two schools of this kind in Norway.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Where... half of them are Christian.
So one of them.
So generalize from that.
Okay.
But you also have other schools with sort of you can study music, sort of specialize in music, but they tend also to have other types of specializations. And this high school or whatever, they have a yearly Christmas concert in the church for free, actually.
Oh, nice.
And when you are a young person studying music every day, and this is kind of a, it's kind of a boarding school, so people come from all over to stay here. So,
oh, I boarding, guess would... not boring.
Mm-hmm.
Or? Just saying what
oh,
I heard.
This is a new thing. My sort of unenthused laughter. So, and so they stay at this school and I practice a lot. So they tend to be very proficient in what they do. And they have this huge choir and there are soloists and musicians and all that. So, in terms of quality, it's very good. It's fascinating.
Awesome. Cool.
But also, they have also they lack also some maturity.
In what ways? Well, they're kids, right? So.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
say more.
You can. So they are technically very proficient singers.
Hmm.
But they don't own the music, if you understand.
Okay, they're wearing it like a piece of clothing that isn't really theirs yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
even though they may know some of the tricks in the book and so on, so they aren't there. They necessarily make the music their own, and this sounds very, I guess, arrogant or something, but it is just interesting.
No, I get that. It's like that maturity, I guess, is the thing that comes later, right?
Certainly. And that lack of maturity that's shown. Yeah, so in the middle of the concert, they had this appeal. Because this school, they go on trips, and this year they had been to Japan. And they come home with, you know, that in Japan they have a culture of perfection that is almost, or it is inhumane. They are not allowed to fail. People develop psychological? Psychological, thanks. Problems from this and so on, and also they haven't almost none of them are Christian and they aren't allowed to be Christians and so on, and if they just met Jesus everything would be okay.
This is the attitude that was wafting off the school people, or
yeah,
in what
so,
ways did this
so please give us money in order to do missionary work in Japan, not to force Jesus on them, but at least show that they have the choice to choose Jesus if they want to. Please give us your money.
Is this why the concert is free?
No, I genuinely think that it is because they want to have a concert. And it is a tradition, but there is this element, and it's normal in a service context to collect money for some kind of work, but perhaps unnecessary to say, I didn't give them any money because they aren't. It isn't entirely wrong that there is. Some social issues in Japan, also when it comes to expectations to succeed and so on. But yeah, they came off pretty ignorant.
Right. Whoops.
Yeah.
Was it so awkward, or were you like the only person in there squirming?
It felt like me and my wife were the only ones.
Hmm. I went to a Christmas concert as well, but I paid. And
I guess you didn't have to listen to culturally ignorant generalizations.
I did not. Well, I mean, only in the sense of, I guess, well, no, carol singing is not culturally ignorant, but it's a kind of proselytizing of its own, right? Like, but it's, you can just enjoy the music, which is what I go for, not being in any way religious. But a friend of ours sings in the Den Norske Studenter Sangforening, which is like the kind of national student choir. And they do a Christmas concert every year in this beautiful church. And the acoustics are kind of interesting because it's big and stony and there's pillars and it's very high. And they do fun stuff. They do fun arrangements of things. It's not all very traditional. And they all rearrange themselves, like every song, kind of people move around depending on what part they're singing and what they're going to do. And it's all, you know, they thought about it. It's not always perfect. It's not always note perfect. You can sit at the back and just go, right, well, either there's something very strange going on with the acoustics in here, or they need to work on that bit and that bit and that bit. But it's extremely competent in general and very fun. And we came in late and we sat right at the back, trying very slowly to peel ourselves out of winter clothes that, of course, have Velcro on them and stuff like this. And we're like, don't make any noise. Meanwhile, there was a small child playing with some building blocks who didn't give a shit about, like, the fact that you make noise. It's a bang, bang, bang on this table until the parent came over and said, right, that's enough. Stop making the noise. Yeah, it's fun. I love that people do this. I think the only people who I know go to carol concerts in the UK are sort of religious-ish. That might be not strictly true, but it seems to be a thing that goes hand in hand with you actually go to church, or your parents still go to church or whatever. And it seems here like a thing that people do because it's nice and it has no, or has very little bearing on their kind of religious sensibilities. Atheists would cheerfully, I feel like, in Norway, go to a carol concert because it was nice. Is that
true?
Yeah,
we did.
Yeah. So you've gone out there, you like actually describe yourself as an atheist, or are you an agnostic, or are you not sure?
Get me started. Well,
can you use the word atheist anymore?
The sort of the 22-year-old, your typical university guy answer.
Ouch.
Well, I consider myself metaphorically and metaphysically an atheist because, as I restart, it's been a while. Well, I consider myself metaphysically agnostic because you can't have knowledge about the deities and so on, but practically, I consider myself atheist because God doesn't matter in my life.
I wish our listeners could see the arm gestures that accompanied that description. Yeah. So we keep dancing around the topic of your thesis, I guess, but like, where is this kind of secular but not thing in Norway just continues to fascinate me.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
Because of, for example, people who you wouldn't think are religious goes to a church and observe a concert or something, and it's okay, and it's not a deal?
I don't know. There's a stripe of people. I'm very badly qualified to talk about what people in Britain do. There's a stripe of people who go to church at Christmas for a service, not the same as a carol concert, because that's what you do.
Same thing in Norway.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think. I don't know that many people who go to carol concerts. I don't know, like, there's a difference between going to a carol concert in a concert venue and going to a carol concert in a church, right?
Mm.
That seems like an important distinction.
Yeah. So for the sort of religiosity and sort of the religious map in Norway and the UK are somewhat quite alike, but somewhat different, I guess.
Can you say a little bit about the differences?
So, well, let me start with the similarity. I think many people, although perhaps less people now, have some kind of connection, or they identify themselves as belonging to the church, or use perhaps denominators as, yeah, I guess I'm a culturally Christian, or something like that.
Yeah.
But not a personal Christian or something.
Right.
Which is to say that, yeah, I probably want to baptize my children, but I don't care about what's going on in the church. Except Christmas and the life rituals. So it will be important for me, for example, to have a service to when someone dies at a funeral and so on, we want to bury in the church and so on. But the rest of the year, it doesn't matter as much.
Mm. Hatchings, matchings, yeah. And dispatchings, as it goes in English.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. But it is important to me that there is a church, and that someone is tending to it, sort of.
Okay.
So in religious studies, you have this, category or construct which is called vicarious religion, which describes both the UK and Norway, because they also both at least had a state church and so on.
Right.
So there, I guess there's the similarity. But when it comes to, I suspect that, I don't know this about the UK, but at least in Norway, it seems that the churches are becoming more and more cultural arenas as well. For example, secular concerts and so on.
Why is this?
I think it's both because the church want to be in people's lives, whatever it takes. So they allow for artists to have concerts and so on there. At least in urban areas, it seems.
Hmm. The same thing libraries are trying to do.
Yeah,
please still make this a part of your life.
They want to assert themselves as a sort of this public space in a way, and I think when they belong to the state, they also kind of had to, because we are funded by tax money, so we can't be picky.
Yeah.
And when we try to be picky, they are usually some kind of uproar. Not an uproar, but some protests and so on. So, but now, technically now, they could, I guess, be more picky, but yeah, I think they want to stay relevant.
Hmm. Are there things that would differentiate between Norwegian secularism / religiosity and the UK?
Yeah, and now I took sort of the organizational perspective, I guess, but I guess what's interesting is about the personal level of this. Why isn't it... You aren't signaling that you're a personal Christian or something when you go to a church or a concert. Your friends and neighbors wouldn't say, "Oh, this is weird. Where does this come from? This newfound spirituality, right?"
Is going to a church around Christmas virtue signaling?
No, I wouldn't think so.
Okay, just checking.
It's like.
For a carol concert or a Christmas. Okay, it's just what people do. Yeah. All right.
Even the service.
What would happen if you weren't there? Would anyone care?
I guess your pious grandmother would, but... Not really. Well, perhaps in small community, perhaps people would notice it, but not really, because most churches tend to have several services during a day. So
We went down a rabbit hole.
We're down a Jesus hole.
We can't talk about the Jesus hole on this. Yeah, cave is more appropriate. Please don't talk about the Jesus hole on this podcast. We have to edit this whole bit out. Cool, though.
You know that Jesus walked on water.
I do not know that. Please tell me where this is documented. Yeah, yeah. Nice segue. Listener Ellis sent us an instructive diagram about how to walk on ice, which I think was mostly aimed at my husband, which is to say walk like a penguin. And I think this is generally very good advice. I think you should bend your knees more than... Penguins don't have knees, right? Do penguins have knees? This is the kind of thing I wonder about. I spend a lot of time at this time of year helping my husband walk on ice by explaining that his weight needs to be further forward and he needs to bend his knees more. But since he got pig school, he's basically unstoppable, except when he doesn't wear them. And then we walk very slowly. I have to check my walking on ice privilege. I don't think it's difficult.
Do you have a technique?
I guess I can just do it. I don't really have to think a lot about it. I try and keep my body weight, like the center of gravity over, like, you know, like, it's like unicycling, right?
Yeah, it's totally like unicycling.
It is like unicycling. Yeah. You want to keep your center of gravity over the wheel, and if not... If your center of gravity is not over the wheel, you have to control for that. You have to be, like, using centrifugal force or whatever. It's just like a whole series of force diagrams.
Speaking of unicycling, I sent you a picture of a TV.
I sent you a picture. Oh, no, you did. Yeah, okay, let's start with yours. Right, what the heck?
What the heck? It was from the Royal Variety.
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 Variety. We're going to keep saying this.
Performance thing.
I'm so sorry that you felt you had to watch that.
Is it a New Year's thing in the UK?
I'm not sure about New Year. It used to be on at some point over the holidays. I don't recall exactly when. It used to be a thing that as a kid you would want to watch because all your kind of favourite TV people were on it. I have not thought about it in 25 years. And the whole title of it is that, like, I guess the Prince of Wales or someone is supposed to go and, like, sit in a box in this theatre somewhere and applaud and say, oh, yes, very, very good. It seems to lack all relevance to my life. So I have not thought about it.
Well, I watched some of it. And Circus de Soleil were there and did some unicycling on a string.
Well, that's pretty impressive.
Standing on his head.
Mm.
So
that's good.
So there.
You see, that has improved considerably. When I used to watch it, it was like... Do you know the kind of lame Saturday evening television of the 1980s? It was like that, and worse, and kids' TV kind of level of poorness. That sounds pretty cool.
And yes, so the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge were there.
Right.
The hugely celebrated actor... Miranda Hart hosted it.
Mm-hmm. That's her standing right in the picture that you sent me.
Probably.
Mm.
And she made a lot of quips about class and monarchy and so on.
And were you sitting there going, yeah, well, I know all this? Or.
Well, I didn't. I found it interesting. But and she also made the Duke of Cambridge. Also known as William, gallop.
Yeah, that sounds really dignified. Yeah. Can we stop pretending that the royal family is anything other than a bunch of, like, paid monkeys?
No, we can't. Is this why you were frowned out of the...
Now it all comes out. What is these people's function? They bring in tourist revenue, that is it.
Well, you have seen The Crown, haven't you?
Yeah, I finished watching season two.
Their function is to keep the narrative about the, I guess, I struggle to find the word here, the nation, the society, the values. They need to be the figurehead of the morality and fine. Because who else? The prime ministers?
God forbid.
The political leaders? Haven't you read any Emile Durkheim? We need something set apart to remind ourselves on what's forbidden and what's allowed.
What is
and
a...
He was French.
What is a inbred and largely out of touch hereditary monarchy adding to that exactly?
Well, inbreds and out of touch agents has been working for quite a while. It's basically religion.
Working.
Religion.
At least the one thing going for it, like until relatively recently, at least I guess, is that like people officiating in religion, like generally, like often didn't have children. You'd think it would have like evolved out by now.
I think we touch on a small difference, because you don't sound like very much as a monarchist, but I do.
Really?
You're... It's complicated.
Yeah.
Did you see the New Year's speech that our king made?
I did not. I'll have to chase it.
Yeah, it's even transcribed. So I guess you could run it through Google Translate. But
yeah, that would be fun. Yeah, because that's always perfect.
He is dyslexic, so perhaps it would do it justice. So, but he's pretty much become the king of fine values that we can agree to.
Yes, and perhaps if our monarchy in the UK were more like the Norwegian monarchy, I would be totally cool with them, because he is a dude. I'm a big fan. Doesn't necessarily make me a monarchist. I don't think it has any place really in a democracy, but I think he's a good dude.
Yeah, but in my history education, we learned about the French Revolution, and the main takeaway from that, except the parted heads, is that
Do you want those in a bag to go with fries? And,
You can a duchess bag, you can call that, but you can indeed choose your kings. The kings relies on the will of the people. Except in Britain, I guess. But not. People in Britain tend to like the monarchy.
Well, Will is very much of the people, if you're talking about the current the generation that were at the Royal Variety Performance. That's a little play on words. I'll get my coat.
Yeah,
show myself out.
Now.
I know. Poor guy.
I read that in Bill. No.
You're literally trying to press every single button that I have in this podcast. There's only so much. Okay, it's my turn to squirm. Okay, it's squirming week for Chris. Fine. Let's just move on past that. Yeah. I cannot justify the existence of hereditary monarchy. I think it's insane. Sorry. That should be more of a yes and. I'm trying to find the ands. Well, the and is that I think Norway does it really well, but that doesn't make me a monarchist.
My point is, you can choose your monarchy. So you can choose the Norwegian monarchy.
So you can have any flavor of kind of statedom you like, as long as it's got a hereditary monarchy.
Yeah.
Well, that straight up sucks. Hmm. Could be worse. Could live in the Middle East.
Or no, I can't do that. They have suffered enough now.
Mm.
But my button is at least bigger than your button.
What was your button again?
Are you one of those who has quit Twitter?
Virtually, if not actively.
Oh, this guy in the US made a tweet to the guy in the North Korea.
Yeah.
About buttons.
Okay. Well, that's almost so what now, that kind of, that level of exchange. And this is why I'm almost not on Twitter anymore, among other things.
Yeah.
What a sorry mess. Mike Montero's piece about, like, why, yeah. I'll link. I can't even.
So this podcast, it consists of now, I guess, 70% of Chris's.
Because?
And like 5% of Knut. Because we have the Chris third, actually.
Indeed.
Made a post. No, he didn't make a post.
He used our feedback form.
He used it. Oh, we have completely forgotten to tell people where they can find the feedback form for this podcast.
smalldifferences.fireside.fm. Write to us. You can use the form, yeah. Which Chris did.
Spoiler warning. Mm. That is kind of an existential thing.
Yeah. You want to say more
about
that?
You have to go back and edit. It may be that we are moving.
Mm. But you're not willing. Perhaps we'll you're not willing to commit more than that at this point. All right, all right.
I've learned my lessons.
Watch this
space. So, Chris made some comments.
Yeah.
He's learning Norwegian.
He is learning Norwegian.
That on our?
I don't think we did anything to dissuade him from it. So technically, we might be slightly, partly responsible. I think he decided that. He was learning Danish, and they stopped providing it where he was learning, so he wanted to switch. So he chose Norwegian. Good boy, Chris.
Godt jobba.
Indeed. We talked about Creef before, which is where some of the terrifying Scottish candy came from, and turns out that that has a personal connection for Chris, which is cool. He talks about Chomsky and prepositions. Yeah, I wanted to talk very briefly about this, right? Like, he talked about the construction, Jembyenmin, my hometown. And, like, it's really confusing when you start learning Norwegian as an English speaker that you say the hometown mine. You can say my hometown, but it's a really common construction to talk about the hometown mine. and that is very odd, and it takes a while to get used to, and I've stopped noticing it.
Could you say the hometown of mine?
Only if you were referring to, like, in English. You couldn't say it in Norwegian. You couldn't say Jembyen av min, right?
Nei, det kan du ikke. No, you can't.
Yeah, like, the most thing you could say, like, what you could say in Norwegian might be like den hjembyen min, but can you even say that, like, that hometown of mine? Like, how would you say that hometown of mine?
But that's my point. You can say the hometown.
This is hard to say.
The hometown of mine is small. That is a accepted sentence in
hjembyen min liten. Okay, yeah. Right. My hometown is small. Gotcha. Right. Yeah.
But you have to stick the prepositions between in English, but not in Norwegian.
Yeah, my hometown is small. But in Norwegian, hometown mine is small.
Mm.
Yeah. You can do either, Chris. Yeah. Chris, the short answer is that you can do either, but you wouldn't do both. Like, what you wouldn't say is min hjembyen.
Except not in definitive form.
Yeah.
Min hjemby liten.
Yeah. My hometown is small. But you can't say the hometown is small. That doesn't make any sense because you're duplicating the.
Mm.
Or something. Anyway, yeah, this is
and
like...
The is also a recommendation of... No, okay.
Yeah, I like the. Anyway. Anyway, yeah, Norwegian grammar, complicated. Chris asks about visiting Norway. Are there any bank holidays to be aware of? Yes, the entire of May, basically. Like the whole of May is just one long string of bank holidays.
That's true.
And Easter? The 2 days before Easter, like Thursday, Friday, and the Monday also after.
Yep.
Is that it?
Yeah, also Pentecost.
Is that the...
If you're lucky.
Is that the first, like, there's a day, is it early June?
Yeah.
And May Day, right? Like Labor Day.
Yeah. And 17th of May.
And the 17th of May. Apart from that,
or
no,
17th of May, as you say.
Apart from that, no, there's not really any bank holidays you need to be aware of. Chris also talked about cricket. I can't remember. I don't have the email in front of me now. I can't remember exactly what he said.
This is a small twist. It would seem, although you have some objections, that there are more cricket clubs in Oslo compared to some city in Scotland or something.
Mm.
I don't remember the comparison, but...
My take on this was, I think maybe the clubs are better organised in Norway and they're all kind of affiliated with some overarching sporting organisation and they're easier to find on the web.
Thinking like an historian.
Really?
Yeah, you mind the sources.
Hmm.
Not the least, the missing sources.
How can you mine a missing source?
It may be interesting that if you have a telling of an historical significant happening or something, and there aren't any sources of it, think like Sherlock Holmes.
I was thinking the Bible.
What about the Bible?
That's all hearsay, right?
Don't get me started. No and yes. It's complicated.
Okay.
What we call the Bible, which is a constantly changing thing. I think there were thousands of variations of the King James Bible in terms of translations and errors and so on. It is a pretty huge mix of different texts by different authors with varying grounds in some kind of recognized history where we have sources from other places that can support or challenge what is in the Bible.
That was a short version. We were talking about standing on water, brackets frozen. I wanted to talk a little bit more about standing on frozen water, if that's permissible.
Any day. not any day.
Anytime?
Mostly during the winter, I guess.
But... I guess. So I did a thing that felt very Norwegian, which was that I bought a season ticket for the ski hill here. Because there's been quite a lot of snow and I thought probably I would get my money's worth. But now I feel like a real Norwegian because I have a ticket that basically says I can ski all winter. And that's pretty cool. But when I was reading some of the posters up at the ski hill, I discovered something that I found a bit alarming, which was, I'm going to quote you from this poster, "Women skiers were first met with strong opposition, but they soon became a common sight. The first women's ski club was founded in Steinkjer in 1889 and named after Skada, the Norse goddess of skiing." And for non-speakers of Norwegian, Skada means like injury or harm. So, well, now I'm worried.
You should be. You are a woman skiing.
Yeah. Well, it's snowboarding. So maybe I'm exempt. Maybe there's some kind of...
Okay, mono skiing. Which isn't completely correct, because mono skiing is also a thing.
But, are those the boards that... Wait. Are those the boards that split, or is that something else?
No, that's a split board.
Who knew?
Look up mono skiing on the internet.
I will.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
But you should be afraid of the Norse gods.
Well, if they control the weather, I'm very afraid. It's going to be like minus 15 for a chunk of next week.
That's cold.
Yeah, I've been to minus 15 in Scotland before. I'm generally unfazed, but it is a bit chilly for a while. Oh, I see Monoski. Oh, those, yeah. Okay, link in the show notes. Nice. You have to tell me about this guy who was on TV. So I sent you a picture of a thing that was on my television over the holiday.
Ah, yeah. We are running a bit long, but okay. So you sent me a picture of Odd Børretzen.
Mm.
And why did you send me a picture of him?
Well, because my husband was flicking through the channels trying to find something to watch over the holidays, and he went through Norgerund, which we've talked about before, and I was like, stop, put this on. This is a piece of Norwegian cultural history, which means around Norway, right? Norgerund. So we watched that for a bit, and there was this guy who was kind of, this sort of slightly impish-looking guy sitting by a fire and reading things in a kind of hygge, cautiously kind of a way. And I was like, I bet this guy is really famous and everyone knows who he is, because that's exactly the kind of guy that you get to read these sorts of things that are on at Christmas or whatever. So, who is this guy?
Well, he is someone that almost everyone knows, I guess. He is, I guess he's most known for his authorship and his folk songs.
Okay.
I guess. And he have a very folksy, skewed view on things.
Yeah. I like the song that you sent me.
Yeah. And a couple of years ago, he had a national hit called "Every Noen Ganger Er Det All Right." Something. Sometimes it is all right.
Okay.
Which is about these little moments during the day that where things are generally fine.
So an optimist, then.
Yeah, he is.
How old is this guy now?
Well, he's dead.
Oh, you're kidding me. Don't tell me this.
He died in a couple of years ago.
Before or after having the hit? Was that what did him in?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
I think age did him.
Yeah, because he's a bit old in this thing from 1999. Yeah.
And, they made a movie about him, actually.
Okay.
And the title in Norwegian is quite kind of fun. The Norwegian title is Da jeg traff Jesus, ellipsis, med sprattert. Translated to When I Hit Jesus with a slingshot. So, yeah. I guess most of his songs are a bit... Well, you have to know Norwegian.
Yeah. I found myself really wanting to send that song, which is We Dreamed About America, And I found myself really wanting to send it to someone. And then I thought, yeah, well, that's no good because it's in Norwegian. So sorry, Dave in Canada. You can listen to it and I'm sure you appreciate the music, but not the words. Maybe it's translated somewhere. The lyrics will be online. We'll figure it out. Google Translate will solve everything. So is this guy like a part of the cultural furniture when you grow up?
Yeah, not in a living room, perhaps, but yeah, kind of. Is a part of the canon, I guess.
Hmm. Did you listen to folk music growing up? Or was there, like, there was less of a line, maybe, between folk music and other music?
You listened to whatever music was on the radio or something? I didn't listen to folk music.
It merely happened.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Perhaps this is the time for me to have a cultural pick of the week.
I think you should.
Speaking of folk music, and also Odd Børresen, I actually have a friend from the studies whose name also is Knut, which evens out the Chris Knut
score.
Yeah,
You're actually winning because it was Christmas, so Askepott was on, so there's a Knut doing the voice over there, so you're winning. Anyway.
Mm. Anyway, he has this project. It is in Norwegian, but you can listen to it for the guitar, I guess. But it's called hundreviser.no. 100 as in the number. Mm-hmm. And where he aims to post 100 songs that he has mostly made himself.
Oh, wow. That's pretty ambitious. Is he like the Norwegian Song a Day guy?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And he made a cover song of We Dreamt About America.
Oh, nice.
Suggestion?
Oh, cool. Well, I have to listen to these. Are they available in a more, like, mobile-friendly way? Like, can you download them somehow?
They are, or on SoundCloud. SoundCloud.
That's like a whole other app I have to put on my phone. Oh, my God. Cool. Nice pick. It's nice when it's personal.
Yeah, I guess it's better than Star Wars The Last Jedi.
How many turning cast? What would you? How many of the dice with six? How many dots do you get for that? Sorry, that was very incoherent. In Norway, everyone rates movies on a die with six, like out of six. I don't know why.
You are talking to a role playing nerd, so I wouldn't pick a six-sided die.
Well, obviously. Okay, on a d20, what would you score it? Oh, long pause. This is serious consideration. This is good. I like being taken seriously when I ask good questions.
Let's save that for next week.
Okay. What a cliffhanger. Do we need to wrap up and go to work?
Yeah.
We should do that.
Yeah. Yes.
Not ready for work?
I have to be because we actually are going to a client.
Oh.
Going out to a client. But I lost the thread.
Yeah. There are some slow, very, very slow wheel rotations happening in my brain since coming back from holiday, which was only yesterday. We'll try and do better.
Ha det bra, takk for at du hørte på.
Takk for at du hørte på. Ha det bra.